Excuse me, madam, the recording is on.
Great. Okay, well, I'm a very inexperienced, I've never been a chair or a leader of a task group, so please jump in and, you know, tell me off if I make a mistake.
Mrs. Gandhi now joins.
Ah, shall I do a quick roll call for you, Victoria?
Lovely. Thanks, Claire.
Okay, with pleasure. We have on the call Rafik Damak, Victoria McKevedy, Olga Cavelli, Michael Young, and Claudia Di Ganji, and myself for staff, Glenda.
And Rafik.
And Rafik, yes, Rafik Damak. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. Sorry.
Okay, that's great. That's all the procedural stuff. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Hello, this is Julie Hedlund. Sorry to be late.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Look, what I was just saying, and I'll just repeat it for the benefit of those who've just joined, is that because this is our first subtask meeting, what I thought might be really, really useful is to actually sort of go around each individual member of the group and, you know, basically have them speak to any overarching concerns, ideas, you know, whether process or substantive, etc., so that we can kind of get an idea, you know, where we have some common ground, where there are issues, you know, other things that need to be added to our discussion and what have you. So if everybody's in agreement with that, do you think we could just start and go through the list?
Victoria, this is Claudio. I'm not sure I'm following what you're asking for us to summarize.
General overarching thoughts, concerns, issues, both procedural and substantive, about the work plan and the task in front of us.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really kind of just an introductory, you know, discussion about, you know, what our work is and, you know, the scope of the task as we've defined it, the content, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, people can speak to any issue they like, and if they don't have anything they want to contribute, then there's no need to do so.
Okay. Thanks.
Great. Who wants to start?
I can start if you want. Victoria?
Thanks, Olga. Yeah, thank you.
One comment that about my experience, I've been around in the ICANN process for a while. For some years, I was the Argentina representative of the GARC, and then I've been studying all the structure. What I have not worked is in a constituency. So in this perspective, I have seen the constituencies from the outside, working in different committees like the GAC and now in the GNSO for almost 2 years. So my view is what I can be helpful in this process is to give you some opinions on some feedback from how do I see some constituencies working from the outside and how they interact in between. And where do I see some lack of maybe participation or maybe some ruling? This is perhaps my value added to this process. That's what I wanted to comment. So in this sense, I would be happy to contribute with some of you working in a certain specific point so I can give you my view from the outside. So, but I don't belong to a constituency. As you know, I'm a non-com appointee now at the GNSO.
Okay, great. Thanks, Olga. That's great. Very helpful. Anything else from you, or is that... should we go on through the list then? Rafik, would you like to go next? Have we got Rafik?
Maybe he's on mute.
Okay. Michael?
I think he's... I'll get him back. I think he's disconnected for some reason.
Sure.
Okay.
I can go ahead. So there's a few things looking through the work plan you put out, Victoria, that made me think. My own background originally is so I've been in some of you know this, some of you may not know this. I've been involved in the industry since the first new TLD was launched, which was .info back in 2001. So I've actually been around this for a long time, and my initial involvement was heavily in the IETF arena, where we did heavy consensus work, and really it's all about working group models and consensus. So, you know, my general understanding of the recommendations or the overall feeling of the recommendations to the restructuring of the GNSO is to, we still have voting structures in place, but the idea is to try and drive decisions by consensus versus having to fall back to voting. And, you know, I think that there are, you might have noticed some new constituency applications coming in, like the city and the IDN GTLD application, which were very interesting applications, and they both, I think, indicated a strong lack of understanding of the intent of the restructuring of the GNSO and the constituency groups towards a consensus and working group model, because they focused a great deal on exerting and attaining voting power or influence right up to the GNSO Council. And I think it's incumbent on us in our recommendations to try to make sure that those operating recommendations and principles reinforce the intent to take this to more of a working group model and to emphasize the fact that the voting is a fallback mechanism, not a primary mechanism by which decisions should be made. And at least in particularly, I think that's important within the stake, stakeholder groups and the new constituencies that will exist within them. An interesting development and an example also of a point I want to make was, you know, I don't think that we can, on one hand, I think setting some generalized practices and principles that are used consistently across all the constituencies and the stakeholders groups is a good thing. On the other hand, I think we also have to understand that each of these stakeholder groups, these four areas, have their own unique issues and representations. And this is supposed to be a bottom-up environment, so that they need to have some freedom to differentiate where it's appropriate for the space that they're representing or from the problem set that they're coming from. So I think in terms of recommendations, we have to keep that in mind and allow flexibility for that kind of perspective. And an example of that is we've now changed, the SIC advised us in the charter for the registry stakeholders group to change our language from constituencies in our charters to interested parties. Mm-hmm. And they're suggesting the same thing's done with the registrar stakeholder group as well. So effectively, that's going to be a consistent change they're recommending across the entire contracted party side of the house in the GNSO. And, you know, what's very interesting about that is their point is that, you know, at least with contracted parties, in order to have a vote in the stakeholders group, you need to have a contract by definition with ICANN. And that was argued in both the proposed charters, and they acknowledged that and recognized, yeah, that makes sense. And therefore, also the board shouldn't necessarily be approving constituencies within those two groups because there's a definition of membership that's quite clear through contractual obligations. Whereas in the non-contracted parties house, there does need to be more of an examination or approval because there isn't that defining membership by contract to guide membership. And I thought that was very interesting. I think that was a good revelation and a good acknowledgement for all of us. But it also is, to the point I'm trying to make, there is a reasonable differentiation between, you know, whether or not you want to call it a constituency or interested party, there is a reasonable difference between those existing in the non-contracted side of the house versus the contracted side of the house. The motivations and the ultimate agendas and interests differ because they're coming from different communities and different areas of concern, and that's valid. And so we should leave enough flexibility so that they could be represented accordingly to their communities, I think.
I think they're all really good points. It's extremely interesting to hear that. Thank you so much, Michael. It's great to have that perspective coming to the group, obviously, because, you know, only, you know, perhaps others in the group aren't as focused on the contracted party issue and how it impacts these reforms and what have you, and so it's very helpful. Just keeping right along. Claudio, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I actually agree with a lot of the points that Michael just raised, particularly about the differences between the constituencies and really the diversity that exists within ICANN and the GNSO, and sort of the need for that flexibility to be acknowledged. I'm not sure if I really have many other thoughts. I mean, I was looking over the different tasks, and I did see a little overlap between subtask one and subtask two. So I think it was a good idea, Victoria, to invite SS and try to coordinate between the two groups where possible. And I had just been thinking that as far as going about completing our work, that possibly we could just have one or two people from each team or each task work on developing recommendations perhaps for some of these sub-items, and then maybe circulating them to the list or to the group, having a discussion on that and seeing if we sort of have agreement. Those were pretty much my thoughts.
Okay. Rafiq, have we got Rafiq now? Liam?
Yes.
Hi, Rafiq.
Sorry, I was off the call for some time, so I am not sure about the question.
Okay, let me just re-put it very quickly. Because this is the first discussion that the subgroup is here, we decided we're just going around the group members and just speaking very generally to any overarching thoughts, concerns, issues, ideas, you know, either substantive or procedural, or about the work plan, or how do we approach the work, etc. So, you know, don't feel obliged, but if you have anything that you just, you know, people have been having sort of, you know, just giving perspectives and, you know, how they see this process, etc. So if you have something to participate, you're very welcome to share it with us.
Well, maybe just one point that each constituency has its own particularities, so how we can protect or make that each constituency has its own particularities, especially for example for NCUC, that we are in the process for the new stakeholders group. So that's my first concern. But maybe I will ask more questions after.
Okay. And then, Julie, do you want to contribute? Because you know, you're a member of the group in a sense. If you'd like to say anything, please.
I think thank you very much, Victoria. All of you are raising some very interesting and useful points. I guess as I was making notes here, the ones that I thought would be useful perhaps for us to give some thought to as, you know, as you go about addressing this task is, you know, as several of you noted, the diversity in ICANN, the need for flexibility, which I think was definitely a point that was raised in the recommendations in the BGC report, was the need for flexibility as we come up with recommendations. And then, as Rafiq had noted, that each constituency has its own particularities. In that, you know, I think we're not tasked with finding a one size fits all approach, but perhaps finding some general approaches, recommendations that that perhaps within each constituency or stakeholder group can be adjusted to fit that group's particular needs and its particular interests, shall I say. No, but I don't have anything else necessarily to add. I think this was an excellent idea, though, to get everyone to share some thoughts at the beginning of this.
Victoria?
Yes, great. And I only have a few thoughts, but I suppose they're very general. I think it is very useful to have had these things, and I think we need to actually, my initial reaction is that we particularly need to think through some of the issues that Michael raised. I mean, I suppose that my thoughts are overall, having read again the board governance and the LEC reports and so forth, and trying to understand the backdrop backdrop of the other restructuring initiatives, the new bylaws, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I suppose that, I mean, in a sense, what I come to the task of looking at, having been a member of two different constituencies and seen quite different practices in a sense, is that I think it is a good, the reports talk about the fact that there's just the most enormous information and process barrier and process fears for new entrants coming through to ICANN and trying to participate, and I really think that's true. And I think it's kind of a, you know, a golden and historic opportunity to sort of improve the process, hearing what everyone's saying and accepting about the need for flexibility. I mean, I thought one of the interesting things that the board governance report says is that, look, we're not trying to introduce a new layer of bureaucracy. And I think, and they did, you know, was their idea that there should be some new standardisation going in at constituency, and they selected that be at constituency level. And so while, you know, I agree as well, you know, it should be bottom up. So there is the need for for flexibility. I think, you know, we'd be doing everybody a great service if we could come up with some consistent minimums just for, you know, for example, procedural, you know, good practice and good procedure. And it shouldn't really be that controversial. Or we should, maybe we can be, you know, I mean, I suppose we should be able to work around areas of controversy. I mean, in a way, I think it's quite difficult to do this because the stakeholder group issues are still unresolved, or as I see it, I don't know how unresolved they are or not, and I think, again, that's something that perhaps I need a better understanding of. So they were my general comments. About process, I would just address Claudio's point. I have to say my own preference, and perhaps this should be one of the first issues that we go to discuss now substantively, I'm not necessarily sure that I'm a fan of breaking down into sub-teams further, because I think it's already a bit of an issue whether or not it's going to work, having this whole working group having broken into these two sub-teams. So I have to say I'm not really attracted to that, but I'm open to other views, and I wonder if we should take that round the table or see if anyone wants to talk to that further.
Victoria?
Yeah?
This is Olga.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to add a comment, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes, about procedures and about the... I was revising the document, all the sub-items in task. I have a concern about new constituency, new stakeholder groups, and also existing constituencies and existing this new rebuilt stakeholder groups. And it's about the diversity of the reflection of the diversity of the whole world. I think the big challenge that I can have now is really becoming a global institution, a global organization that could reflect the interest of the whole internet community. That's a big challenge, especially for some constituencies. I've been talking especially, for example, registry constituency, also registrars, and they have difficulties sometimes in finding representatives or voices coming from some other regions of the world other than United States or Europe, which is understandable because sometimes these companies and these markets are more developed in the developing world, in the developed world. But I think that's a big challenge in this new stakeholder groups, and I like the word that Michael said instead of constituencies, which was the word he used. I liked it because it was more general and more inclusive. I cannot recall it now.
It was interest group.
Interest groups, it's great, because it's a really interesting term. I think it's much more inclusive. The big challenge is how to include the whole community. And I'm not sure how to solve this in the first moment, but I think it should be included as some ideas and some clauses as a process that should go on in the development of in this new GNSO structure and in the whole ICANN structure. Representativity of developing countries, it's relevant because the next billion users will come from developing world. So I think it's very challenging. I come from a developing country. I come from a region where there are no registrars, almost. There are like 3 or 4 registrars in the whole Latin America. And I find it very curious, very interesting to understand why this market is not developed. Why is this happening? Why is this region of the world is not included in this in this new business, in this new actor. So I wonder how, for example, the registrar constituency could include Latin America. Also, the registry constituency could include Latin America view. So perhaps we could have that in mind. And in collecting model clauses on, for example, which is point six in the document that you sent to us, could be also taken in consideration how to be really a global, to have a global view. Not perhaps achieving things today, but having in mind some guidelines to achieve it in the future as a vision.
Okay, thanks, Olga. That's great. It's good to have that sort of, it's very, very helpful to have that kind of perspective. Do you think we should just explore a little further this idea of interested parties and whether or not, I'm just wondering, Michael, I don't know if you have a proposal, but or if you thought this through as to how it might, I mean, are you suggesting there might be, we should perhaps focus on interested parties rather than constituencies?
Well, I'd like to, it might be a good idea to circle back to the SIC representatives. We had a presentation, a relatively quick one from them, where they explained that they were advising both the registrar and the registry stakeholder groups to change that language from constituency to interested parties. I'm not exactly sure what they did on the non-contracted side, although it was inferred in that conversation that they were going, it was going to continue to be defined as constituency on the non-contracted party side. So I think it'd be interesting to get to circle back to them and get a little clarification on that. And you know, maybe in our recommendations we should be you know, specifically thinking about, you know, there is a bit of a difference between those two different groups in the two different sides of the house because of the base that they're coming from, and address that in our recommendations.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Perhaps we ought to seek that input. I mean, I think also my own thought was just that, you know, this, I mean, I feel that, you know, and even in the process that we've been through getting to this stage in our own working team, we've had a lot of resistance because, you know, and to some extent I think there's a desire in the constituencies to maintain the status quo as far as possible, but particularly in the non-contracted houses, until they can be sure they can replicate themselves at stakeholder group level and or, you know, so it may well be that we don't want our work to be lost in a sense or wasted because of those sort of issues. And I was just wondering if there might be some sort of workaround there, but perhaps we can put that to a side and maybe see if there's something worth coming back to if anyone has any ideas further down the track.
Victoria, this is Julie. If I might make a quick mm-hmm. comment or bring something to your attention.
Sure.
In asking, you know, whether or not the interested parties language is something that the SIC has incorporated into the other charters. Now, I have not read the other charters, but I do know that all of the revised stakeholder group charters are now posted for public comment. I'll send you the link. But at any rate, if you wanted to scan through them, you can see, I think they're even marked up to show where the changes were made.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've actually read them, Julie, so thank you. But yes.
That's all right then. Great. Just thought I'd get that.
But, I mean, of course, with the commercial group, for example, that's still transitional. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, again, this comes back to the concern I was mentioning earlier. I mean, I think there's a concern not that there shouldn't be an additional two layers of varying, you know, varied procedures, and there's a real danger with that, and we don't know what's going to happen at that other layer finally, or... Well, certainly we don't know in the commercial. We do know in the non-commercial because they have submitted a proper charter for stakeholder groups. So, but at the same time, I suppose maybe, you know, the Board Governance Committee has said it thinks that the any standardisation or, you know, common principles, et cetera, should go on at constituency level or interested parties level or what have you. So I guess we just have to start with that. Shall we move through to actually looking at some of the other agenda items, and perhaps we don't have that much more time probably, but and perhaps just start to discuss any of those. We've discussed very generally variation versus uniformity. Do people think it would be helpful to talk about that further, or is that one of the big issues that we should perhaps leave to the end? Do people have views?
Victoria, this is Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious, earlier you had expressed some concern about breaking up into smaller groups. Did you have a thought regarding how you think we should proceed on completing our task?
Well, I mean, essentially, I think some of the issues of principle need to be discussed, and we need to agree on that. I'm not so focused on the documentation. I mean, I think there's a danger people get very focused on documenting. I mean, there are some bigger issues, which are sort of issues 1 to 5 in the work plan. Issues 1 to 4. They are issues of principle that need discussion. The model clauses issue and or the materials that we're going to work from, I mean, that's kind of a practical question we could begin with right now on a procedural level, if that's what you'd like to do. Should we start with question 5 then, given it's practical? And then perhaps come back to the issues of principle, which are in 1 to 4, which may have further contours once we've dealt with some of the practical tasks. If other people have views on that. Okay. So now I think when we turn to issue, question 5 on the work plan, this is collect input on available models for operating procedures from all sources, including those referenced by the Board Governance Committee report and so forth. Now, those are possible sources, and also we have the work that's been done on best and worst practices, which is a body of course, available sources for practices. I think one of the early issues that arises is whether or not, and Michael, you may have views on this, as that with your proposal, the best and worst practices. Do you have a view, Michael, whether or not it's inappropriate to look outside existing ICANN procedural operations?
I think it's encouraged to bring ideas in as far as I understood, and in terms of this whole consensus-based approach and going to more of a working group model. I mean, the IETF in particular was cited many times by many people. The reality is that it's nice. We'll have to pull some of the ideas out of these things and. I mean, for the ITF, I can advise what actually works in practicality. I mean, there are things that are sitting there in documents that are actually never used in the meetings or in the working groups because they look good on paper, but frankly, they just don't work. So if we were to pull some things from, W3C or RIPE, you'd want someone from that group ideally telling us, what actually worked in practice. Just because it's, listed on a website or in a document somewhere doesn't mean it's actually getting used. So I can certainly do that for the IETF element.
That would be really, really helpful. Do they have constituency-style groupings or stakeholder groupings or interest groups?
Well, what the IETF has basically is just a working group, which is effectively an interest group because they're self-formed. And there's a process around which you build up enough of initiative. Now, the other thing, the barrier that you have to hit with a self-interest group like that is they declare themselves, they create a charter, and they have to engage one of what we call an area director in the IETF, which there's a couple of area directors for each area, and they specialize in a span of technology space that's appropriate under the IETF's overall mandate. So you have to basically, if you will, you have to achieve sponsorship from a full-time guide, if you will, within the organization. Well, you gain their sponsorship, then you have to go through the process and pass several listed barriers to actually reach working group status. So I can pull some of that stuff out and talk about that, and then when the groups are operating, I can also pull out some of the nice elements that they use to actually, what's unique about the IETF probably is how they actually operate the meetings.
How is that?
Well, they've got some oddities, really. They don't like to vote, putting hands up and hands down, so they hum. Okay.
What is hum? What does hum mean?
They say, well, okay, if the group wants to go left, can I have a hum? And then people hum. And then, well, if they want to go right, can I have another hum? And whichever is the louder hum wins. Right? And the idea is to actually not call people out and have them take, you know, extreme sides and say, you know, I'm for this or for that. It allows a little bit of softness in that. You know, if it sounds like the entire room, for example, is in agreement with something, then they'll just ask for one general hum, and if it's quite deafening, we realize we move on. And it's a funny thing, I have to tell you. Sociologically, it's a bit of a funny thing, but it works.
So it's also Chatham House rules, by the sound of it, right? There's, as you say, there's a softer side to it, so it's kind of confident. You know, it's a secret ballot in a way, is right? Well, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, semi, because you're sitting next to people and you can kind of tell if they're humming or not, but it's pretty hard to gauge the whole room, yeah. And that's why we hum instead of clap.
So people can sort of vote on conscience then rather than along party lines in a sense, I guess, right, because there's no accountability as such.
That's right, and to be honest, in those groups, you know, part of it's because it's really technical issues, and frankly, most of the representatives are primarily technical purists. There's not a lot of collusion really within those groups, generally speaking. I mean, I'm sure there are people in those groups there that are representing, you know, private interests. There always is, but it's not as overt as I would say it tends to be in groups like ICANN, to be honest. You know, it's a little subtler. And the part of that is the methodology by which people express themselves. It's very hard for anyone to dominate a conversation.
Okay, that's extremely helpful, and it's regarded as an incredibly successful model of bottom-up sort of decision-making. So, I mean, anything we can learn from that would be useful. I mean, if you're going to take that and tell us a little bit more about that and perhaps, you know, bring anything to the table that we might use from that model, maybe everyone in the group should select another organization, and then we'll be able to combine our best and worst practices, i.e. ICANN models, other models, you know, and would that be how do people feel about that as a starting point?
I think it's a great idea. Victoria?
Yes?
This is Olga.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I would like also perhaps to review the procedures of our regional RAR, LACNIC, which I think, in my opinion, it's a very interesting organization, very inclusive, and very much devoted to the region, with several mechanisms that I cannot recall right now because I don't participate actively in their working group, but perhaps I can interact with them and bring some ideas because I have many friends in there and I see the work they do in the region, and they are quite inclusive and quite dynamic and very bottom-up oriented, so maybe I can bring some ideas from our local RAR.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Great. Does anyone else want to volunteer to do? That's like RIPE, isn't it, Olga? Is that your regional version of RIPE?
Yes, exactly.
It is. Okay, great. So we'll leave that. I guess someone. I could look at RIPE, I suppose. Who else have we got? Claudio, do you have a preference about an? You know, would you like to look at a model? You can nominate.
Yeah. The W3C.
Okay. Great. Rafiq. Rafiq, would you like to choose like an organization and bring some ideas perhaps from their operating procedures? Has anyone got any other suggestions of organizations?
I don't know really.
You could look at Robert's rules or something, you know, sort of just standard meeting, you know, standard governance meeting procedures. Or I tell you what, this is just a thought, and please shoot me down, someone, if it's a bad idea, but can we borrow from the working group model? I mean, has there been a lot of work done about how working groups should operate, and might there be some useful procedures and so forth there?
Sure, I don't see why not.
Okay, Rafiq, are you happy to do that?
Really, I'm not understanding you well.
Okay, listen, I can email you. We could do this on the list afterwards, and then I can perhaps send you a link and explain.
I'm conscious that we've got very little time left because, Michael, you have to go, right?
Yes, unfortunately. Sorry.
Okay. Well, look, this has been, I think this has been very helpful. So should we go away and perhaps do our work on the list and then, you know, do people, should we have a, I think we should have a fairly tight time frame, so almost by the end of the week, if that works for anybody or everybody.
Works for me.
It's okay for me.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Well, does anyone else have anything else, other business?
Nope.
No? Great. Nope. Okay, look, thank you very much all for bearing with me in my first bad cheering example, but that was, I think it was pretty useful. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Victoria.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thanks, Victoria. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Olga.
Victoria, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.